we bring our series of lessons on authority to a close, I thought it would only be appropriate to take the last lesson to remind us of the need to do all in the name of the Lord. Certainly appreciate Bruce leading us in that hymn that we just sung a moment ago, titled "Do All in the Name of the Lord." And that is a hymn that is based upon the instruction of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, which Alvin just so ably read for us a moment ago. And there Paul's instruction was, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Simply put, the hymn, "Do All in the Name of the Lord," encourage us to only do that which is authorized by the Lord, and to do that which pleases Him. So, with this hymn in mind, let's take a few moments this afternoon to discuss some reasons for why we must do all in the name of the Lord. And I begin by reminding us that we need to do all in the name of the Lord simply because the Lord has all authority. The Lord Himself declared that in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, when He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And if we want to please the Lord, we're going to have to submit to His authority. We're going to have to do all that He has said to do. When I think about that, I'm mindful of the question that the Lord asked there in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. And there the Lord asked, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say to do?" That's a good question, isn't it? Why do we call Jesus Christ Lord if we're not going to do the things that He has said to do? You see, if we truly love Jesus, we're going to submit to His authority. We're going to do all that we do in His name, by His authority. And we learn about that in John chapter 14, verse number 15. There Jesus said, "He who loves me will" what? "Keep my commands." Fast forwarding there to verse number 21 of John chapter 14, Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." Again, we must do all in the name of the Lord because He has all authority. And if we truly love the Lord, we will submit to His authority. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that we must do all in the name of the Lord because we are commanded to. And to fail to do so would be in vain. Again, going back to the reading of Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17, we see where we are commanded to do whatever we do in word or deed in the name of or by the authority of the Lord. And if you go back to the hymn there in the first stanza of the hymn that we just sung, "Do All in the Name of the Lord," you'll notice that that first stanza and that hymn there admonishes us to avoid decrees of men. You think about that. You think about the need to take heed to that instruction. The need to avoid decrees of men and the need to do all in the name of the Lord. Simply because of the fact, as we've talked about throughout our series on authority the past few weeks, to do things by the authority of men or to do things in vain. And when you think about that, I'm mindful of the warning that Paul gave in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, which we talked about this morning. And there in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Paul went on to elaborate further on this, fast forwarding down there to verse number 21 of Colossians chapter 2. And there Paul said, "Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." Again, we need to do all in the name of the Lord, knowing, as we've talked about, that He is the one who has all authority, knowing that if we fail to do what he said to do, that we are doing whatever we do in vain. To remind us of that, I take us back to Mark chapter 9. And here in Mark chapter 7. And here in Mark chapter 7, Jesus is rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees for wanting to hold to the tradition of men. And notice what the Lord says here in regard to those scribes and Pharisees wanting to hold to their tradition of men, beginning here in verse number 6 of Mark chapter 7. Jesus said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pictures and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition." Again, here we are warned about keeping the traditions of men. And we need to be mindful of the fact that we must do all in the name of the Lord, because we are commanded to, and failure to do so would be in vain. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that we must do all in the name of the Lord, because it is the basis for unity, which the Lord himself prayed for all believers to be. Did you know that? Did you know that by being of one mind, by being united in keeping the commandments of the Lord, that it's the basis for unity? And even the Lord himself prayed for all believers to be one. Notice this with me there in John the 17th chapter. And here in John chapter 17, we learn about the Lord praying for all believers. And notice, beginning in verse number 20, what he prayed for. After praying for his disciples, he prays for all believers. And he says here in verse 20 in his prayer, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may," now watch it, "be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that you also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Here we learn that if we want to please the Lord, we must strive to be united as one. And thinking about that, thinking about the Lord's desire for all to be one, to be united, I can't help but to think about Paul's instruction to the church in Corinth found there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice this with me. Notice Paul's plea to the church of Corinth here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 10. Here Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Stop there for a moment. Here Paul's plea is not a plea upon his own authority, but rather a plea upon the authority of the Lord. And he says that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You see, Paul recognized the need for brethren to be united if they're going to please the Lord. He recognized the need for them to be one. He recognized the need for there to be no divisions among them, but rather for them to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And if we are going to accomplish that, we must strive to do all in the name of the Lord. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that we must do all in the name of the Lord, because in the judgment day to come, we will all be judged by him. You see, not only does Christ have all authority, but he's also going to be the one in whom is going to judge the world. And those who reject him, and do not do what he says, they're going to be condemned in the judgment day. Notice what Jesus has to say about this in John chapter 12. Here in John chapter 12, beginning in verse number 48, here Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." You see, again, we must do all in the name of the Lord. We must do all that he has said, all that he has instructed, because of the fact that we're all going to give an account to him someday. We're all someday going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We learn about this in Romans the 14th chapter. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Romans chapter 14. And here in Romans chapter 14, beginning in the latter part of verse 10, Paul says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." Paul reminded the church in Corinth of this, like also there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. And there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, Paul reminded the church in Corinth, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Why, Paul? "That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Think about that. Again, in the judgment day to come, each and every one will someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's no escaping the judgment seat of Christ. There's no escaping giving account for the things that you have done. And that is why it's important that we do all in the name of the Lord, knowing that someday we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that we have done. And failure to do according to his will be failure to inherit eternal life. And that takes us to the last point for this afternoon. We must do all in the name of the Lord in order to inherit eternal life. Because as the Hebrew writer informed us there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9, he, that being Jesus the Christ, is the author of eternal salvation. To who? All who obey him. That's key, isn't it? The Lord's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. All who submit to his authority. All who keep his commandments. All who obey him. But on the flip side of that coin, what's going to happen? If we fail to submit to the authority of Christ, if we fail to do all in the name of the Lord, what's going to happen? Well, notice that with me in Matthew chapter 7. And there in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, notice these words of the Lord. There he said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Does that catch your attention? It should. Because here we learn that not everyone who declares to know the Lord is going to inherit eternal life. Here we learn that though there's going to be many on that judgment day who are going to declare to do many great things according to the Lord's authority, but what's he going to say to them? Depart from me. I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. That word lawlessness there, it actually comes from a Greek word which denotes without authority. And those who declare to do things without the authority, without doing them in the name of the Lord, someday are going to hear those dreaded words. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. That is why we must toil to the end to do all in the name of the Lord, as the third stanza of that hymn read. That's why we must continue, as Jesus, the Lord himself, informed there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, to the end, and I will give thee a crown of life. Once more, may we make sure that we do all in the name of the Lord, so that we may please the Lord and someday inherit an eternal home in heaven. But here's the thing about heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And maybe there's one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and his will. As of right now, you're not prepared. But you have an opportunity to be prepared. You can become prepared this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And may we all always remember, as we just concluded in discussing a moment ago, as we concluded our lesson, the need to keep on keeping on. The need to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and his will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, asking for his forgiveness, and get back on that straight narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this afternoon, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Bruce is Selected.